I had to redefine success. So for me now, what I do is I ask myself three questions at the end of each day. Did I show love? Did I inspire? And did I impact the world positively? And if I can say yes to those three things, it was a successful day. Because if I know if I show up and do those things, the money will follow.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello and welcome to the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby and Darren Bridget. Damon's the CEO of Learn It. I am in charge of the product that we create, and we are joined today by Kara Capano. Oh my gosh, am I saying that right?
It's Clara.
Yeah, that's all right.
I thought
the L must be silent, right?
Yeah, I can promise you I've been called much worse, so we're good.
Clara Capano. And if you are interested in professional development, the intersection of the two, then you're at the right place. Let me do a proper introduction for Clara with an L. International speaker, award-winning educator, best-selling author, and host of the Working Woman Channel and Living Real TV. 20 years of experience in sales, leadership, really with a big focus on providing women in business with key strategies so they can create that harmony between their personal and their professional lives. You've got these books. You've got this whole system that we're going to talk about today, which is the Clarity Success Method. Last thing I'll say, but obviously that sounds much better than the Carity Success Method. But the L, it does matter.
We got to find out what the L means.
That's right. We'll find out what the L really actually means. Clara, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you. So we have a signature question that we like to ask because we're all about learning here. And that question is, Clara, what are you hoping to learn to get better at in the near future, next 6 months or something?
Well, there's two things. One is on a personal level, Spanish. I have been wanting to learn Spanish. Languages come very challenging for me, so I really want to lean into that. And then the second thing from a business standpoint is learn more about using LinkedIn and leveraging LinkedIn to grow my business and my following.
Nice. Those are good ones. Yeah. That desire to want to get good at languages is such a powerful one, but it's one that kind of keeps ending up on the back burner, even though everything about it is good for you, right?
Everything.
If you want to keep growing your brain, that's one of those things to lean into. And of course, LinkedIn, we also are investing in it. You can't operate these days without it, right?
No, it's so good. And I love meeting people from all over the globe and sharing ideas. And I learn every day when we're talking about learning. So just being able to utilize it to its highest and best use is just because there's so many things you can do with it.
Yeah. Well, Clara, that was a brief little introduction for you. Can you give us a more filled in picture about how you came to do what you do? And I think actually, I know you talk a lot about burnout and things like that, and we can talk a little bit about your personal story as we get into it, but maybe fill in some of those high level details for us off the bat.
You bet. So, you know, the Clarity Success Method was born out of my own personal journey. I am like so many people where my whole goal in life was to check off as many boxes as I could. And for me, that's how I defined success. How much could I do? And the more I did, the more people would think I was a success. Well, the problem with that is when you do so much, you really can't do anything well. Yeah. And I found myself at the age of 35, being a single mom of a 1.5-year-old, being in a job that really wasn't fulfilling me, working 14-hour days, if not more, and just looking at myself in the mirror, sort of being like, how did I get here? This is not what I really thought my life was going to look like. And so I started to just really question it. And I have to say, I really have to give credit to my son, because it was when he was about 3, he was the one that called me into it and stopped me one night and said, Mom, you're not paying attention to me. And it really cued me into the idea that I was doing what we call zombie living, where you're going through the motions, but you're not really present. You know, it's that zombie driving when you show up and you're like, how did I even get here? And that's not how I wanted to go through life. So I started to then rework it, because as I started to talk about it and share it more, I found that so many other people were living the same way. And so I started to just develop some real life strategies, because so many people are like, oh, do this, do that, time block, just say no. But the reality is, easier said than done. Right. And it's not a constant. It always has to be adapted and adjusted, and everybody's lives and their demands are different. So it has to be something that can move and work with each individual person. And so by using that, you know, that's sort of what I do. I don't believe in this thing called balance. So I strive for harmony, which is all about understanding the give and take and the trade-offs that we need to make and accepting those and understanding that's part of life.
That's great. Zombie living. I don't know that I've heard about that before, but that's a very good evocative term. And what a wake-up call to have your kid be the one to tell you. And that's the thing that's going to make it. Okay, I got to make some changes here.
That's great, Claire. I was doing my research. Your son's Nicholas, right?
Yes, he is.
And he's 7 or 8.
Well, now he's 19. He'll be 19 next week.
Oh, he's 19. I have a 3-year-old, and I was impressed when he said to me the other day, Daddy, you're my boy.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Nothing as profound as what Nicholas said to you around the same age.
But yeah, well, there'll be more. They say things all the time.
Yeah. And sorry about that, Nicholas. I didn't realize I missed your age by 12 years, but I got the name right.
Yeah. Something that you mentioned in there, well, there's a lot to unpack, actually. This idea of you should be thinking about harmony, not balance. And I'll just say another one that I'm hearing there, too, is it seemed like you were suggesting that earlier it was a premium on quantity, but maybe not as much quality. Certainly by focusing on quantity, you were missing quality. And there was a shift to put more emphasis maybe on quality. But yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. And certainly the balance versus harmony idea.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it even came in with my clients. I thought I was showing up every day like Wonder Woman, just kind of slaying the day. And I worked on a large real estate team, and we were closing as a team of 12, about 400 to 500 transactions a year. So it was very transactional. And again, I thought I was doing an awesome job, because for me, answering every phone call, working 14-hour days, I was showing my clients how important they were to me. But when I started actually listening to their feedback, feedback were things such as, we always sound like we're interrupting her. She's always sounds so busy. You know, those are not great things for your clients to be saying. And so listening and bringing those in, I had to start to, again, rework things, because the truth is our clients want us to take time off. Our clients don't expect us to work 14-hour days. They want to be taken care of. And so by letting them know and setting expectations, and those expectations were things that I never set, which is why I had to be at the mercy of my phone and my email. But when I sat down with them and just simple things such as, explaining, communication is important to me. Can we make an agreement that if you reach out to me, you'll give me a 3-hour window to get back with you? Because just like I'm here with you now, it would be rude of me to be answering my phone and checking my emails. I like to be present with my clients. Well, all of them were like, absolutely, that's great. Then I was given the clearance to be able to take my time. And it was almost overnight that the feedback went to, she's on top of things. She always calls us back when she says she's going to call us back. So it was really just going back to, am I delivering service or value? And right. I really want to deliver value. And I noticed that even when I left doing real estate full time and went more into consulting and training, it's working with less people, but going deeper with them and giving more at a higher level. I could be on the road. I'm already on the road about 30, 35 weeks a year, and I love it. Could I be on the road every week? Sure. But again, then I wouldn't have the quality of life, and I wouldn't be able to be there for my son and for my parents who are aging. So again, you have to look at those checks and balances and those trade-offs.
I think what you said, I think it's very important. It makes me think about, because a lot of the, myself included, but a lot of the salespeople, especially that I work with, either both at LearnIt, but also some of the people I mentor or whatever, they always want to jump to attention whenever their clients need something. And what I try to explain to them is exactly what you're saying, is set expectations. If you get an email from them at 6 p.m., you don't need to immediately turn around and respond. You just have to set clarity and learn also how to not overpromise and underproduce. They think you have it going on and on and all the time. And so I think it's fantastic. It's learning to set expectations. Yeah. And I also think, you know, one thing you mentioned is that you've learned to work with maybe less clients. Do you have any tips? Because this comes up quite a bit. It's hard, especially for a solopreneur or somebody just getting started. They want to take all the business they can get.
But
do you have any tips for, and we've gotten better at this over Learn It, but for understanding who your clients are that you want to work with, right? And how to say no to business or pass off, maybe send to your competitor even, clients that don't align with your goals.
I did that. And for my first few years, I did that. And I always sort of had that internal gut check of, I don't know if this is going to work. And every time it went horrible. So again, it all starts again, you've got to get clear on your vision. And then the other thing I would suggest doing, and this is what I started doing, is finding partners. So if I do find somebody and I don't feel that I'm going to be a good fit for them, I already have someone I can hand them off to. And I can say, I think my partner, Darren, might be a better fit for you. I had somebody one time and we lived on different time zones. And they had told me, they said, well, I either want to coach before 7 a.m. or after 7 p.m. because during the day I work. And I was kind of like, well, what do you think I do during the day? And it's like, listening to these things and working with those. I've had speaking engagements where at first I was like, oh, I want that paycheck. But then I looked at it and I would say, okay, well, it's not easy to get to that location. So I'm going to lose a full day there and a full day coming back, plus the day that I'm speaking. So that's 3 days on the road. I'm going to be speaking at an event that really doesn't have my target audience. So does that really make good business sense? So this is why when you have your business plan together, you have your vision and you also put together your job description. And these are things that I work with people on. You, again, use those as your checks and balances. Just like if you're going on a vacation, you might say, I want to go to these places. But then you have to think about it. Well, do you want a relaxing one? Do you want an adventure vacation? You know, do you want to lose a day traveling or do you want to have a direct flight? You have to start looking at these and you start whittling it down to find the one that's going to be the best fit at that point in time.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
Clara, something that I'm hearing there, which I think is really cool, is this idea that when you felt like you were doing so much and it was a lot focused on just like quantity, you got to do all this stuff. Underneath that is a desire to excel and to succeed and to be there for people. And instead of completely trying to change that and say, well, you have to stop, you know, manage yourself, you just redefined what success looks like. Exactly. So that you actually kind of elevated your value, but it still adhered to your actual values and didn't let go. It's kind of like that thing with perfectionism. You know, perfectionism is sort of like a double-edged sword, right? It's like it can totally wear you out and be awful, but at the same time, it's a little bit of a superpower that you can excel and care so much. So finding that harmony.
And everything has the blessing and the curse to it.
Yeah.
I will also say it's going to change over time. You know, when I was in my 20s, I wasn't married. I didn't have a kid. It was all about making money. I also had the energy that I could work 12 and 14 hour days. And I was building my name. Now it's more about impact. And to go back to what you just said, I had to redefine success. So for me now, what I do is I ask myself three questions at the end of each day. Did I show love? Did I inspire? And did I impact the world positively? And if I can say yes to those three things, it was a successful day. Because if I know if I show up and do those things, the money will follow.
Yeah.
Now, at the end of the day, let's say you don't tick all three of those boxes, right? Do you stop and reflect back on what you could have done differently to try to learn for the next time?
I do. And sometimes it depends because sometimes I'll check in a little earlier. And let's say I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like I inspired. Well, maybe I'll jump on and I'll do a quick little Facebook Live and send out some motivation or write a little blog. If I don't feel that I contributed or if I didn't show love, maybe I'll call my mom, you know? So again, sometimes there's little things that you can do. It's very rare that I don't because I'm conscious of it, but I reflect and sometimes it's, well, I wasn't feeling very well or the day was so busy or I was just in a bad mood today. And sometimes again, it reminds me that I've got to get back into my gratitude practice.
Can you walk us through your clarity success?
Let's hear the bell and all the other words. Yeah,
exactly. So, okay. Obviously it's a takeoff of my name. So that is my whole purpose is to bring clarity to life's complexities. So what I do is you walk through this in helping you create your success plan. I don't like to call things a business plan because I believe, again, it's the harmony of life and business together. So the C is all about clarifying your vision. So this is where you start thinking about what is your why? What drives you? What are your values? who is it you need to be, you know, to become, and get that mindset check, because you have to have that vision before anything else happens, because this becomes your compass and everything else is what you run against your vision to make sure you're making quality decisions. Mm-hmm. Then we go into the L, which is all about leveraging your time. Time is the great equalizer. Everybody has the same amount of time, 168 hours a week. So how are we investing our time? So many of us only focus on the investment of money, but we have to focus on the investment of time. So are we using our time to its highest and best use? And this is where we talk about quality over quantity, because it doesn't matter if you want to work 10 hours a week or 50 hours a week. What is the highest and best use of that time? So you can really start working with that. And then I help people with strategies around that. Then what we do is we pair it with the first A, which is all about action. Because the truth is, you shouldn't do it all. And you have to start thinking. So I help people write their job description. Because whatever it is you do, you are the CEO of your world, your realm. So you have to start thinking about, what is it that you need to do? What are the vital few activities? Then you build your schedule around those and you do your job. You don't do someone else's job, you do your job, and you work on delegating out the other ones. Then, as much as we need to take action, it's about rest and recovery, because we truly cannot serve others when we are depleted. It's the old, you know, you got to put your oxygen mask on first before anybody else's. Mm-hmm. So just talking with people about how can we do this? And I really try to walk people through, and my whole concept is a minimum of 15 minutes of joy every day. Mm. Yes, rest and reflection could be a nap. It is a vacation. It's going for a massage. It's all of those things. But sometimes it could also just be taking your dog for a walk, gardening, having a dance party, watching trash television. Do something that lights you up each and every day. It's because when you're fulfilled inside, it's going to permeate outside. Mm-hmm. Then what we need to do, because we know at the heart of everything is value, because all of us are in sales. No matter what we do, we're all in some sort of sales. Well, money flows to value. So you have to learn. So the second A is all about articulating your value. Mm-hmm. So I help people first learn, what is the value that they bring to the table? What is their uniqueness, their relevancy, their differentiation? And then teach them how to articulate that to their clients, because their clients don't necessarily care what you have. They care how what you have is going to serve them. So we talk about, again, coming from that servant mindset. And again, are we delivering value? Then we go into the T, because not everything works. So we have to track and measure for success. So we start to look at, what are we doing? Is it working? If it's working, how can we keep doing it and maybe even elevate it, bring in that 1 degree difference? If it's not working, why? Is it not working because we're not doing it? Do we not have a good enough system? Do we need to change it? You know, we want it because we don't want to keep doing the same thing. Definition of insanity. So we track and measure, and then we start to identify what are the things we should track and measure. And then the Y stands for, yes, it's time to celebrate, because wait too long and we say, oh, I'm only going to celebrate at the end of the year when I hit the big goal. No, you want to celebrate along the way. So setting up smaller goals. So have an annual goal, have quarterly goals, monthly goals, even at the end of the day. I start my days with a gratitude practice. What are three things I'm grateful for? I end my day with, what are three great things that happened today? So I'm celebrating my day, because so many times we get to the end of the day and what do? We beat ourselves up. I didn't get this done. I didn't get this done. Mm-hmm. But we still get a lot of things done. So let's celebrate and let's acknowledge them. Because when we start to celebrate, I mean, many times I'll do that. I'll be at the end of the week and be like, oh my God, I feel like the week got away from me. And then I start to list all the things I did. And I'm like, oh, I actually got a lot done. Feel good about yourself and about what you're creating.
Yeah.
So I got two questions for you on that, which is great. One is, do you have some kind of, either created by yourself, or do you recommend for people, like, I don't know, like a book that they use that has questions that you go back to at the end of the week? Not a book, but like a journal, that a specific journal that, like,
I think you might have one with your name attached to it.
Well, it's, yes, I am toying with creating one, but I've used the 5-minute journal. I think that's a great one, a really popular one that's out there. You can get that on Amazon. I have created, and one of the things that I do with my clients is I help them create their own template to do their weekly success plan. And on there, it has some of these questions that they work with. So I think there's different ones out there. I kind of like being, you know, working with people and helping them sort of create it, because again, my ideal week is going to be different than your ideal week. So that's why I love to be able to work with my clients and sort of take those action steps, those core vital activities, and help them design their optimal week and the core things that need to be a foundation for them.
And my other question was, do you have an optimal or recommend number of annual goals that people should set?
Well, I would say you want to have at least the four areas, you know, your business goal, which is could be your wealth goal or your income goal. I think some sort of relationship goal, whether it's yourself relationship or relationships with others. I think you should have some sort of an adventure and maybe something more mindfulness and spirituality. I just think you can't overwhelm yourself. And there could be subcategories in there. I have, I would say, probably four different businesses that I run. So wow. I have different goals in each businesses between my speaking, my training, my writing, my real estate that I do. So I have different goals in those. But again, as long as you have a system to support yourself so you don't lose track of them, that's the key.
Yeah, I bring that up because I know I see myself personally, whatever, and you come up with your annual goals and you have like 20 annual goals. It's just too much.
And so, it can be too much. Yeah. You have to do it. And so, you know, what I do when I lay out my week, I look at those buckets, but I also include my health and fitness ones. Mm-hmm. I include my relationship goals. So in addition to doing all of my business things, I have agreements with myself. I always do a minimum of 30 minutes of movement every day. Oftentimes it's more, but 30 minutes of movement. I like to do at least two yoga classes or a Pilates class or some sort of higher impact. I always do two connection calls a day. So connection calls are not business calls. Those are connection calls to friends, family, whomever, to just talk about life in general. So awesome. Again, bringing those in so that again, every week, every day, I'm touching all of my goals.
What do you say to people who feel like, oh, I'm looking at my schedule, like I just don't have time. I can't do it.
Well, you may not like what I have to say.
No, let's hear it.
I'm going to call BS on it because the truth is we make time for the things that are a priority. Because the truth is I can sit here and say, oh, building my business is a priority. But if I'm sitting down watching reruns of Law and Order for 4 hours, that's when I'm making a priority.
Yeah.
So it goes back to how bad do you want it? If your relationships, like my relationships with my sisters, my best friends, my family, those are important to me. So I make sure I get those calls in. My relationship with my son when I'm on the road, this was more when he was in middle school and high school. I would go and speak for the day, possibly teach for 8 or 10 hours straight. Then I would go back to the hotel room and I would jump on FaceTime and do homework with him because that was a priority to me. So working out is a priority to me because I need to have the energy so I can do those days and be on my feet for 8 hours a day, 4 days straight. So again, you have to start really thinking about what's a priority, because if you're not doing them, it may not be a priority. You know, I love a good glass of wine. Giving that up is not a priority to me. I'm going to say I can give it up during the week on school nights, but I love to have a great glass to celebrate the end of the week. So again, it all goes back to
the priorities. Yeah.
And that's the harmony piece.
Yeah. Well, I think people also, to your point earlier, it does in lots of ways, it'll make you more productive anyway. If what you have to do is get your work done, taking the time to do these other things is often going to be way more effective than just throwing more hours at.
Yeah. Now, can I share another strategy with you?
Let me ask Damon first. Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think you can. Yes. Go for it.
So this is my secret weapon. And it's really not necessarily a new concept. I call it bubble time. Because the reason that most of us run out of time is because we get distracted. Mm-hmm. And studies have shown that we get distracted about every 3 minutes. We are actually finding that we're losing between 2 and 3 hours a day in lost productivity due to distractions. So when people come to me and they joke around with me and they say, well, can you just get me back a couple extra hours in my day? Yeah, I can. Because what you want to do is you want to create tight bubbles of focus. So I'll just give you an example of how I do it. I do it in hour-long increments. So I'm just going to use from 9 to 10 a.m. as an example. From 9 to 9:45, I go into my bubble and I work. Mm-hmm. I take no incoming calls, no incoming emails, no incoming distractions, and I work for 45 minutes. Then at 9:45, that's when I step out of my bubble. I can check my voicemails, my emails, and address anything that needs to be addressed. Sometimes it's even coming back and saying, you know, Damon, I got your message. I'm on an appointment until noon. So let me gather that information and I'll give you a call back after my appointment. because then I can go back into my next bubble time, which is my next appointment. But we can get a lot done when we're not distracted. So that's a great way to be able to do that, because our brain is also designed to work at its optimal level in 45 to 50 minute increments. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things. But it, when you're starting and stopping and starting and stopping, you're losing time.
Bubble time.
Now, the other question I have around that, I think that's fantastic. And you talk about optimal work time. Do you think that there are specific times during the day for everybody to do different types of focus work, or do you think it depends on each individual?
Yeah, I think it's an individual one. And Patrick Lencioni, who does a lot with leadership, talks about this. And yeah, he's amazing. And some people are morning people. Some people are late afternoon. Some people are evening. I'm a morning person. I know for a fact that I am more productive in the morning. So I have learned to front load my days and front load my weeks. Mm-hmm. So I get up at 5 a.m. I'm usually at my desk by 7:30. But by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm kind of done. I still might do some work, but it's not going to be the high powered work that I normally do. I also know that I do my most of my work. My days are longer Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a little bit shorter on Thursday. And usually Friday, I'm done working by 11 because that's how I work. My best friend, who's a high powered attorney with a very large global company, she likes to work until 11 o'clock at night. That's when she's most productive. Yeah. So you have to work with what's in you. I will tell you statistically, most people do better if they get it done early, but be true to yourself. Find the pattern that works for you. I also know sometimes I'll get up and work and then I'll take a 2-hour break from 11:30 to 1:30 and then I'll come back rested and rejuvenated. So find what works for you.
Yeah. Clara, everything you've talked about so far feels like it can apply to just so many people across so many different cultures and industries and anything. But you have a particular focus on helping women. And so can you talk a little bit about what's the condition for women that you especially want to address with the kind of work that you do? And what's unique there that all the rest of us should be paying attention to?
Well, yeah. And I think the reason that I chose to work with women, especially working moms, is because that's who I am. And I saw from my own falling apart, just the challenges. And there is nothing against men. There is nothing against women who don't have kids. I am just not one of them. So I felt I could serve people who are going through exactly what it is that I have worked with. Again, yes, I have worked with many men and many other women, but I am a working mom again. I became a single mom when my son was 1.5 years. So learning how to maneuver through it, I can really speak to that. I also have just learned for so many dynamics, if something happens at the school, they still call mom first. And it's just sort of how it is. And so many times, and in all honesty, many times it's our own fault. We love to wear that badge of honor because we're dealing with so much guilt of not being there that we tend to overcompensate by having to be there all the time. So again, teaching these and guiding these women to help them let go of that guilt. And really work with this. And I remember when I was writing my latest book, which is a guidebook for the working mom, I remember sitting down with Nicholas and he was about 16 at the time. And I asked him, I said, okay, tell me from your perspective, what do you think makes a good mom? And he said things such as someone who listens to me, someone that encourages me on my dreams. It was never somebody that has dinner on the table on time, somebody who makes yummy cookies. All those things that we beat ourselves up with, they don't care about. All they want is for us to be there when they need us to be there.
Yeah.
So working with that. So that's why, again, I kind of fall into that just because I am one of those women and I was the one that was there ugly crying on the floor, feeling like a complete failure at the end of each day. And I just don't want anyone to ever feel that way again.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Of course, I picture Nicholas like, hey, wait a minute, where's the cookies? Like if they just show up all the time, you zone it out almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The magic closet with the cookies. Yeah.
So is there what I know there's so many resources that people have, but what do you want other moms in your situation maybe to know particularly and other people to know maybe about moms who are trying to do so much?
I think, again, letting go of the notion that you have to be there 100% of the time. Really what you need to do is you need to be there 100% when you are there. So even that concept of bubble time, I would use that when I would go to the park with Nicholas when he was 7 years old, I would say, okay, we're going to the park from 3 to 3:45. Yeah. And yeah. from 3 to 3:45, I was in my bubble being 100% yeah. present as mom.
Yeah.
Then I could say, oh, I'm going to go get a snack. And that's when I would check my voicemails and my emails. Yeah. You know, when I would sit down with him at 6:30 at night to do homework, I would sit right next to him and I would do my homework. So yeah. we would be doing that together. I would share my schedule with him. So again, realizing that they know more than we think they do. Now, granted, I couldn't do that when he was 2 and 3.
Sure.
But, you know, they get to an age and they yeah. do want to know what's going on. Yeah. And they do like to have the responsibilities. And they are very proud of us. So I think, again, being a little bit more compassionate, I also think we need to do a better job of asking for help. Mm-hmm. Asking for help could look so many different ways. One, when your kids get to a certain age, yeah, they can start doing chores. They can start doing these things. They can, depending on where you live, they can maybe walk or bike to school. They don't need you to pick them up all the time. Asking your friends, you know, when Nicholas was much younger, I would go to a lot of my friends who were married and say, you know what? I have Nicholas this weekend. Why don't you and your significant other go and have a date night? I will come over and watch the kids because mm-hmm. I already have my son anyway. And mm-hmm. I want to be there because I only have him every other weekend. So, you know, you can do those. Or sometimes I have to teach in the morning. Can you watch my son in the morning and I'll watch the kids in the afternoon and let you work on your projects? So doing these things and knowing it doesn't have to look perfect, create what works for you. And I cannot stress that enough. What everybody else does, it doesn't matter because they are not living your life. They are not living in your household. So figure out what is going to be best for you and work the system that is going to support you and your definition of what success and harmony looks like.
Nice. Clara, what is still challenging for you after all of this great work and discovery? Yeah, where if you're willing to share.
I am. And obviously still have challenges. You know, part of the problem, I wouldn't say it's a problem. I love what I do. I mm-hmm. really, I mean, if I won the lottery, I would still do what I'm doing. I might want to be doing it a little bit more on the beach from Fiji, but yeah. I love what I do. So yeah. sometimes I can tend to work 7 days a week, even if it's just a couple hours here and a couple hours there. But that's, again, it's a labor of love for what I do. I think sometimes I am challenged when people, they say they want help, but they don't really want help. So mm-hmm. I struggle with that because I'm like, why wouldn't you want to make it better? And yeah. they fight it because I think, again, sometimes they wear that as they want to play that martyr at card. And it's like, why do you want to do that? I get really challenged when people put their lives on hold and they compromise themselves because I don't think you need to do that. Again, trade-offs are necessary, but I don't think you need to compromise yourself and your value for your goals. So yeah, those are some of the things. And then still challenge with, I like to be lazy sometimes. So just like everybody else, I got to get up and make the calls. I got to do all the things that we do in sales. And yeah, I'd much rather not be doing those things. So yeah, I got to do them.
Look, I just very quickly, I think sometimes if you do creative work, and I think people sometimes misunderstand that so-called lazy time is often part of the creative work that you need it to do. You can't schedule inspiration every second.
No. And I will tell you, some of my most creative moments are when I just go for a walk.
Absolutely.
And it's just all of it, all the magic, you know, comes to me when I'm out there going for a walk around the lake or something.
Yeah.
So as a productivity strategist, where are you at with AI? Have you been able to leverage that at all to increase your productivity?
Yeah, I'm very cognizant of not wanting to lose the human element, but I use it. I think it's great to give you guidance. So a lot of times if I'm writing some of my blog posts, I might go there to give me some direction. If I'm looking for some key strategies, if I'm looking for studies, if I want to get some statistics on productivity, I use it as a great place to guide me, but I don't have it replace what my finished product is.
Are you worried about it for the future of people and productivity and getting things done? I mean, if people are so worried about digitization,
yeah,
replacing a lot of jobs.
I'm not necessarily worried about it because with all technology, I think when you use it the right way, technology can free you up so that you can be more present when you need to be present. And that's what I really want is I would rather be able to have a CRM doing workflow items and sending out emails that I can batch email. So I could be on a virtual call with you here and really be present. So again, I think we just have to still understand it cannot replace the true human connection. Because when we look at the basic human needs, food, clothing, shelter, the fourth basic human need is human connection. Yeah. And we don't want to lose that. So technology, all of these things should be used to enhance these, but not replace them.
Yeah.
So am I worried? Sure, I'm worried. I just think we have to really be more cognizant of it. And we have to be personally responsible for it.
Yeah. Does Nicholas feel extra pressure to be super productive with like a productive mom? This is like...
yes. Had we struggle a bit. So you asked me my challenges. That's my biggest challenge because he is not quite the academic that I am. School came very easy for me. I would be a professional student. And he definitely has more of the entrepreneurial spirit in him. And he just does not like school. So we're going through this right now. And he's possibly going to take a year off, which I actually think is fantastic.
Which is okay.
And I actually am really encouraging him to do that. But yes, I think he does feel a little bit more pressure on him because he doesn't like deadlines. They stress him out. And I'm like, okay, let's get things done. So.
Yeah. In my head, I'm picturing Nicholas giving his friends advice. You know, there's a more productive way to do that because, you know, his mom.
Yes. He's very cute. And he's so disciplined in, again, the things that he wants to make a priority. School is not a priority. Yeah, so if the deadline is 11:59, he will get it in at 11:59:59. Whereas I'm like, oh, it's done at 7 o'clock. I'll turn it in. But he's at the gym every day for 3 hours. He's very big into his powerlifting. He will watch his food and his macros like no one else. So it goes back to those are the things that are a priority.
I, as somebody who can have that distractibility, that kind of ADD, ADHD sort of thing, the procrastination is almost a little bit of a bubble strategy because you put the pressure on yourself to get into the zone and to be able to focus. And it's not like a total defense, but there's something slightly adaptive about it.
It is. And sometimes, again, you have to work on minimizing the distractions. So sometimes I have to close my blinds so I'm not seeing the birds or the squirrels that are outside. Sometimes it's closing down all the social media feeds so I don't hear the dings that are coming in, putting my phone away. Yeah. So it's just little things. When I worked in more of a traditional office, I would close my door and have a sign on my door saying, in my bubble, because people knew that. Putting my phone on, do not disturb. So the distractions are not going to go away. We just have to do a better job, but also knowing that, because where my bubble time might be 45 and 15 minutes, yours might be 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So again, going back to what are the patterns that work best for you?
Yeah, it's good. Well, Claire, as we start to wrap this up, we've talked about clarity. We've talked about bubble time, a lot of things that I think can really help people, a lot of people, everybody find more purpose and clarity in your life and hopefully not beat yourself up so much when it comes to burnout and find a new way to define what success looks like so that you actually end up being healthier and probably even more productive. We've learned a lot about you. So a few things about Nicholas. What's one thing that you could share that maybe a lot of people might not know about you or might find surprising about you? For example, we had one person, I keep mentioning this one, I need to find another example, Damon, but somebody who shared a secret interest, passion for meteorology, which was sort of unexpected. So I don't know, just something that maybe a lot of people might be surprised about.
Well, I am a die-hard Duran Duran fan.
Oh my gosh, you are.
And John Taylor, the bass player, who I'm sure is following. Yes, he's still on my goal list of yes.
All right, you know, it's so funny. My wife can verify this for you. I'm good friends with the head of security for Duran Duran. And I've gotten I've seen him probably 30 times. So I'm right there with you. What's your favorite Duran Duran song?
Oh, well, it's hard to find a favorite. I'd say Careless Memories is definitely up there. I love Come Up and See Me, Make Me Smile. Their first album is my favorite album.
Mine is New Moon on Monday.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I love it. You're an undercover Duran Duran fan.
That is
awesome. Probably a lot of people don't know that about me either since I'm a big rock fan. But I mean, you know, Guns N' Roses, stuff like that. But I'm a big Duran Duran fan.
Yeah. No, May 21st is actually known as John Taylor Day in my household because it was on May 21st, 1985, that my mother took me out of school and drove me to San Francisco so I could go see him at the radio station and I was able to hug him. And I know the day was as memorable for him as it is for me. So every May 21st at about 2:54, I call my mother and we celebrate together.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah,
awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, to all the fans of productivity and Duran Duran out there, this Claire's been an awesome session. How do people get in touch with you?
You know, the best thing to do is I'm all over social media. Again, on LinkedIn, they can just Google my name, Clara Capano. They can go to my website, which is just claracapano.com. And I really just want to help people. And so what I encourage is, again, if you're out there, if you're struggling, if you want someone just to run some things by, if you want some ideas, just set up a clarity chat with me. There's no obligation. There's no fee. We'll just jump on the phone for 15 minutes and talk about them and what can help them, and I'll give them whatever strategies I can. So just set a clarity call with me.
Well, I tell you, if there's one thing that's clear in this, is that's really authentic for you. It's so clear in listening to you talk that you actually are really committed to making a difference for people. So that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll
see you on the productivity Duran Duran trail.
I love it.
One of the shows.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone.